Hey, welcome to Pro Football Ireland. It's a Monday morning. Happy Monday, happy Easter to everybody listening. And it's funny because we're in Belfast, we're at the Deer's Head in...
What part of Belfast, Dark Harder?
I would say central.
Central?
Yeah.
Central Belfast.
It's all north to me. It's
all just north to me. We will come to that in a second, Mr. Diggin, don't worry. In the Deer's Head, big shout out to them. Appreciate them letting us record. You're actually here with the college team, the gents, doing a few NFL draft things. But I wanted to do a special podcast today just to talk about the last week, because the last week's been a wee bit mad, to be fair. Michael McQuaid, Armazo and Darragh Carter, and Diggins here, lads. I have to go to this man first, Darragh, because he travelled about 115,000 miles to get here. Connell, this is your first time in Belfast. First time in the north?
Yeah? This is my first time probably north of, like, probably Athlone or Dublin is probably the furthest north I've been.
I've never been to Kerry before. Darragh, you've been to Kerry? You've been to Kerry?
When I was very, very young, but no. Similar to Connell, I don't think I've been much further south than, like, Athlone, so we're kind of first time crossing paths here, you know?
Athlone. Connell, just... look, we're going to get into the talk in a minute, but your thoughts of Belfast so far? Here, good or bad, because there's people that listen to this podcast that have been in this room watching, like, people like Jeff or Phoebe or someone. So, thoughts in Belfast so far?
It's not too bad. I mean, it's a city.
It's a city.
It is a city. I don't know if I should say what my mother said about it. I don't know if that would go down well with some people.
Probably won't, because you texted me out the other day. Shout out to your ma.
But yeah, like I think it's our ma, not your ma, actually.
Yes, that'd be right.
Yeah. There you go.
And up your ma.
It's really nice. Food here is very, very good. Better than any place I've gone in Dublin or Cork. Galway's fairly comparable, though, I'll say that. But just don't go to Limerick. I don't ever, like, if you step foot in Limerick.
We're in Limerick in August. We haven't announced that publicly yet, but we're in Limerick in August. Shout out to the UL Vikings for digging there. We'll try and get you on stage at night, Connell.
That'd be great. Yeah,
just you went to Common Market last night, yeah?
I did what?
You went to Common Market.
I did go to Common Market. I got a piece of pizza that was bigger than my hand. And it, like, I don't know, that was
how much is that?
Like £7.
That would be like €100 in Dublin.
God bless.
I bet
Ireland.
In Dublin,
the
in
north
Dublin,
of Ireland,
in Dublin, that would probably be like 13, 14 euro for that. Like, you could buy a slice of pizza that's a regular slice of pizza for €7.
Pro Football Northern Ireland, as we said in Vegas, Dara.
It's coming soon.
It's good to be back, lad. It's good to be back. I mean, like, it's mad. The last time we were chatting, we were in Vegas, and it was actually in a hotel with Jason recording our final podcast of the year. And Connell couldn't find Dara. I think him and Mark went out instead. So
yeah, that was the crack. Went a wee bit AWOL. Vegas got the better of us. But listen, we learn and we'll grow for next year's Super Bowl. So it's good to be back with you, Michael. A lot of unaired grievances between the two of us, but we're here.
I feel bad, Connell, because I took this man out of going to Croke Park, his only visit to Croke Park today for our mob.
Oh, listen, as a Collyhanna man, I've seen more than enough Park this year, don't worry.
We're going to talk about the big news in a wee second, just very, very quickly. This is, because you lads are on it, well, I'll bring it up, and like it'll be on certain podcasts as well, partnering up with this college game in Ireland, the Aer Lingus College Football Classic. Much more than the game, boys, like Aer Lingus College Football Classic has got Georgia Tech against FSU coming to Dublin this August, and you can get tickets at the link in our bio, linktr.ee/NFL Ireland. If you're going to the game, click that link, folks. I'm just a big thanks to them. I really enjoyed the tailgate last year that we organized with them, hoping to do that this year, and they're going to be on board for the college stuff and a few reels and like different types of draft content, live events and stuff. So I appreciate them. Very much looking forward to that game, which we'll talk about in our college podcast coming up. But we're presented by them. If you haven't heard about it, Georgia Tech, Florida State, this August in Dublin, ESPN College Game Day is going to be there with Mr. McAfee, and Dara's going to serenade him and try and get an Armagh jersey signed. Looking forward to it, and thanks very much to them for being on board. Dara talked about the Super Bowl being in New Orleans.
Well,
next year.
It's quite topical of a city topical at the minute. But yeah, obviously that'll be... during Mardi Gras too, I believe. So it'll be a pretty hectic week there in New Orleans. But yeah, and I mean, probably cheaper than Vegas for the those of us who like to flaunt our money around on these trips away. So.
Like balls. Like, do you know how much a Super Bowl ball costs, Connell Diggin? Do you want to guess?
I'll guess about, like, surely 70 about
it's,
there.
It's more than that. It's more than double that. We will come back to that in a bit. Let's talk about New Orleans. Obviously, the biggest news, and this is why, like, I was like, lads, we have to talk about this. Like, Charlie Smith has signed with the New Orleans Saints, the man from Down, lads, from Mayo Bridge in County Down. Like, just unreal. I mean, I'll start with you, Dara. Like, to see somebody your age signed with an NFL team, how does that make you feel for a start?
Well, a horrendous reality check, first of all, that your dreams are never going to come true. But no, obviously delighted for Charlie. I mean, we all knew that he had the potential of doing this. We spoke to him that night up in Dungannon, and, you know, like, there's no one. I would have a fair few, you know, mutual friends of Charlie's growing through the years. We only really grew up about a half an hour, 45 minutes from each other, and no one would have a bad word to say about him. Just stand-up guy, and, you know, so deserving of this opportunity.
Massive congrats to him and his family. And before I get you involved, Mr. Dickin, Dara, you mentioned that night in Dungannon there. I have to thank Tig Leader Kicking for allowing that sort of stuff to happen beforehand. And honestly, people haven't seen the half of it the last few weeks. You know, the support that he's given us has been sensational. So a huge congrats to him. I mean, he's justified everything he's done there, starting up and getting the lads signed. And hopefully, we'll talk about the other boys in a wee minute, but hopefully we get more and more signed. But you're right, that night in Dungannon, he was... I've never seen a lad as calm in my life. He was like, yeah, ready to go.
Oh, you can tell he's a kicker. He's relaxed just at all times, you know. He's, I mean, he's such a composed person, such a good speaker. And I was actually blown away by how confident he was he could talk for Ireland. Like, you know, he's a...
Totally kick for them as well.
he could kick for them too at this point, yeah. So, obviously looking forward to seeing, as I'm sure he's heard about 100 times this week, that the real work starts now, or the hard work starts now. You know, it's such an opportunity for him, and hopefully now it's taken with both hands, or both feet and one foot.
Both hands. if Charlie's listening to this at home in Patrick Kilty land, thanks very much, Charlie, for all your help. You're more than welcome to come to Neil Reynolds in the Mac Theatre this Friday night. Had to say it, Charlie. We love you. I think we just landed on the Mayo Bridge. Have you ever been to... Yeah, you passed through County Down yesterday?
I did, yeah. I was in... I had to get off the train in Uri, funnily enough.
What's the thoughts there?
I saw barely any of it. The train station's up on the hill, so I kind of got a nice, like, view into the town. But, you know, I can't pass comment on it. It seemed like a lovely town, lovely place where people are from.
I call the area there between Dundalk and Uri the DMZ, like North Korea, because it's all just trees. You don't know what's going on, you know?
It's at, a real... nighttime. They really do blur the lines of that border.
Yeah. It's mad. Like you mentioned there, but it's a stark reality check. That's how I felt. Euro 2008, boys. I thought, hold on here. Jeez, I might not make this, boys. This is it. This is it now.
Like, it only hits you at that point, like, you know?
It's mad. Like, Connell, you must, like, I mean, you're... How old are you?
I'm 20.
20, right?
20.
So... Charlie Smith, 22 years of age, right?
Yeah.
Now,
I have a few more years. A
couple more years, 100%. Yeah. Like, we'll get you signed up for that later.
I played in goals when I played football, like, you know, half of the way there.
Happy days. I wasn't really a one the other day, and the man literally said to me, right? So he's just kicking the ball. I'm like, no, he's not. Like, it's so much more than that. That's a whole different discussion. But I think a lot of people on the island that maybe aren't NFL fans, North or South, would have said to themselves, Connell, when this whole thing came out, sure, will any of them make it? And he has, like, you know, obviously it's now the next step of his journey, and we're going to see what happens over the next few months. But for him to get to this position is class. Like, it's insane.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for one of them to make it, let alone, I mean, for three of them to be considered is, like, already, like,
yeah,
a big achievement. And then for one of them to make it, to possibly be the best of 32 is even crazier stuff, to be honest. I mean, like, that is not something you get to kind of see every day. But it's also like, you know, people also thought like Luis Riz-Ahmed wasn't going to make it, and now he's signed with the Chiefs, like the best team in the league, and he's, you know, an elite level athlete. Like, you know, that's kind of the stuff we're dealing with here. But I think it's going to be really interesting. Like, I mean, I think everyone should be hoping that he does make it, because I think it's a bit of an Irish thing where you're like, ah, look at your man there, thinking he's like all class and everything like that. But if he does make it, I mean, it's going to be better, and there's not really a better, you know, representative for us either.
He's so humble as well. Like, literally, I had a chance to chat to him last night, and I can't publicly say too much, but obviously thanks to him for taking the time. But Darby said a second ago, what was sort of off camera, there was, you know, considerable amount of teams interest in this lad, which says a lot about not just how he can kick, but the height at which he can kick as well.
Yeah, you know? Oh, it sort of pops every time you watched, obviously watching the combine and stuff like that, like he, the ball just popped.
The 64 yarder, the wind was nuts.
Off his foot, yeah. And he gets so much height in the ball. But yeah, the big thing you're saying there about teams showing interest in him, more than just the Saints showing interest in him, I think it's interesting. Last year, the rules are slightly different, where players were draft eligible, and then when they went undrafted, they were kind of just assigned to a team. It was just kind of like, okay, here, you're going to go play for them, and the team's like, okay, I guess. This year it's completely different, and the teams are actively seeking out players like Charlie. And so for him to be, you know, have that interest, and not just a case of, you know, the NFL trying to get him onto a team, the team genuinely wants him in the building, that says so much.
He's going up against Blake Groupie. And I believe his reporting date is the third week of this month. So all the best, Charlie, mates. Again, if you're free on Friday night, you know, give us a... I bet he's on late on Friday night, lads. Has to be. Like, Patrick Hilty has to have him on this week. Down man and down man. Just keep the whole Northern thing going.
Are they gonna put him though at the start, where it's the three people all together? Are they gonna make him one of the individuals?
I'm just waiting for Reynolds to tell me he can't make Belfast. Now I'm joking. Friday, I absolutely imagine. If he does, that's class for him. Like I'm delighted for his family as well. Like it's unreal. He's going up against Blake Groupie. Last year, Mr. Diggin, he had an 81.1% field goal success rate. I'm led to believe, Connell, the average in the league is 85.
Yeah, I mean, all I know is that's not amazing.
He's got a serious chance.
He could have... I was talking to someone on the radio today, and I was like, you know, he could have gone to a team like the Ravens could have picked him up, and, you know, basically he's dead on arrival, basically, if he signs with the Ravens. Because, you know, it doesn't matter how good a kick you are, you're not replacing Justin Tucker. Like, that's just kind of what it is, to be honest. So I think he stands a really good chance against Blake Groupie.
Groupie also is 5'6" and 70 kg, so if there is a windy day in New Orleans...
You can just push him over.
If there's a windy day in New Orleans, I think Charlie has a good... I mean, it's indoors, but Charlie has a good chance of, you know, making practice, whereas Groupie might, you know...
Blow away.
Get a wee bit sidetracked somewhere else.
Who's asking him for free accommodation at the Super Bowl?
You are, because you're going.
But we're all going.
Yeah.
You're going. You spend a student loan the next month, you're gone. I'm really, really happy for him. It's a really interesting combination, because I have to publicly apologise here to Connor Laverty, the down manager. For I was chatting to him for 2 or 3 days, like, and he's like, yeah, I'll give you a quote for an article here. Sound as, right? So I texted him yesterday saying, can I give you a ring? Smiley face. So last night, I knew Leash were playing Leitrim. So last night I'm sitting and I see Down get beat by Westmeath. I'm like, oh no.
Yeah. Big shout out to Leash, actually. It's where my mother's from.
Congratulations.
But then we also had a chat with Andy Moore a few weeks ago as well. So like I was pulling
on
for
the pod,
both sides.
Like, what? Get him on the pod.
We got, if he wants to, he can. I don't know if he's a big NFL fan, but sure, you know.
Here, if they've watched 5 minutes, we'll get them on the podcast now. Like Patrick Hilty, you're more than welcome on at this rate, mate. I guess it sets a whole sort of new precedent now, and we'll talk about Lewis Rees-Sammet in a minute. But look, I am very aware that there's people listening to this podcast that maybe have never watched a minute of the GAA in their life. So we'll try and talk about rugby here as well, but we'll try and also explain it a little bit. But, you know, this sets a precedent now, in my opinion, Dara, for an organization which, if people aren't aware, is amateur. People do not get paid. Potentially, if you're young, if you're playing in the under-20 All-Ireland or whatever, and you can kick a ball, you look at Charlie Smith and you think, Jesus, I'd love to give this a go. Like I mean, I had 2 or 3 players text me this weekend asking questions about it. There's no point in me lying to you about it. Like, I mean, literally, like, there's one right now. I'm starting to take the hand here now. But it's like, yeah. So shout out to him. I can't say it, but I shouldn't have said that. But there's a massive interest here, Dar. And it makes me think, who is going to be next year? And not just with the GAA, but rugby. Rugby's a bit different, because if you play for Ulster, Munster, Connacht, Leinster, you're obviously getting paid. Or maybe if you're not good enough to play for Ulster, but you've got a good kick on you and you play for a more local team, you're still getting paid like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're not good enough to play for Ulster, maybe you should be, you know, thinking about career change, to be honest.
Okay. You're in Belfast, so you can't do this.
Yeah. That's the cheek.
Yeah. We're taking your Ravenhill in a minute.
But no, overall, yeah, as you say, like, this opens up a massive opportunity, not just from it's not just from, you know, Tag Leader's perspective, where you know, he has this, you know, to go off now as, I literally was able to put this guy in the NFL. So that's a pretty big negotiation card there for him. But I think you're going to see more, like obviously more people talking about it, more interest in it. There's going to be people who are, you know, 20, 21 years of age and saying, here, I can kick a ball like anyone else can. And I don't see why, if I give this a real good couple of years of training, that I can't get to where Charlie's got to at the minute. Obviously, there's natural limitations to it. You know, you have to be in, like, none of those guys are average athletes. You walk into a room and you see Charlie, yeah. He's a big, big dude, like, you know.
I can't believe how tall he is in person.
Yeah. So, obviously, you're excluding an awful lot of the population there. But those who have grown up playing rugby, kicking balls, playing Gaelic football as goalkeepers or striking off the ground, which is just becoming more and more common every year, there's no reason why there can't be another, you know, crop of six or seven next year and the year after and the year after. And, you know, eventually you could have a league where you're talking, you know, upwards of five or six starting Irish kickers, which would just be outrageous.
The Australians have already taken over the punting, or like, yeah, you know, even in college, like the majority of them are all Australian.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, somebody texted or tweeted me about the other day, like, for a lot of ladies playing Gaelic football, people that aren't aware of this, obviously they're amateur as well, and they're not, like, they're not getting paid. They've used the AFL. We've seen the Mackin sisters, and they're fantastic footballers. They've been going to Australia as well, and you know, this now kind of opens up a whole different kettle of fish now for many different people. What would it be like, right? I have to ask you this, because I have a feeling, I have no idea. Like, I actually was going to go down to one of the kicking days a few weeks ago, and it wasn't that it would be frowned upon to go, but it is, they're trying to keep it sort of top secret to give these people a chance. What happens if Shaunie Shea or David Clifford was to say, I'm going to give this a go?
Well,
no, seriously, like, I mean, how would Kerry react, do you think? Because I think that would turn it into a whole different
story. I mean, if I think the thing with Kerry is, you know, if the two of them did it, like, they'd have to make it, because, like, they'd be welcome in with open arms. Everyone would be like, do you remember when, you know, they gave up on us? And I think, you know, that ship has probably sailed for the two of them, just because, you know, well, they've won the All-Ireland. Since they're with Kerry, you know, they're obviously, you know, in with the chance of winning the All-Ireland every year, because it's expected of you. Like, there's kind of no year off. There's no rebuilding period ever for Kerry. So I do think, you know, for them, like, there could be a chance, you know. I mean, we obviously have David Shanahan, and he was, you know, Kerry minor player. And there's definitely a chance for a lot of the lads who are underage, or
Ross
maybe,
Bolger, Ronan Patterson as well.
Yeah, like, there's a bunch of guys who can definitely, definitely do it. And I mean, you know, it, like, striking a ball is just second nature for nearly everyone in Kerry, whether it's off their hands or off the ground. Like, they'll do whatever to try and, you know, just play sport. Like, we're sport mad. Like, that's the one thing that's always brought up.
I don't think you could rule Rian O'Neill out of that, to be honest with you. If you want to talk pure ball strikers, I mean, I'm a big fan of Gaelic football. I'm not entirely well versed in every player in every county, like, but when you think, especially in Ulster, there's really no one with that raw power behind a leg that Rian has. And you've seen him kick balls in Croke Park from 55-60 yards. He could easily contend, and I think he could easily make to where those boys were, Mark Jackson and Rory Baggin and Charlie have got to. Obviously, everything after that's sort of an added bonus after the combine, which is what Charlie's enjoying at the minute. But yeah, there's no reason why he, and I'm sure plenty others, can get to that stage.
Thank you for the TikTok reel. Appreciate that. I was going to ask you before we have Lewis Rees-Zammit here, right? Players, like, I mean, like, it's probably a cop-out for me to say Niall Morgan, because he'd done it before and didn't get to the final stage. I wonder, I have no idea, but I wonder, would Morgan look at that and go, it's interesting. You know, look, I am not blowing anybody's trumpets here, right? We have seen, and Dara, we said it earlier on, we have seen an explosion of social media the last 2 months. Like, we're coming up with nearly 10,000 Instagram followers, and there's a good 30, 40, 50 lads, Gaelic players, and rugby players follow us that are liking all this stuff. And I'm seeing guys like, you know, I've seen Tyrone players, I've seen Derry players this week liking stuff, and you're thinking, jeez, imagine.
You're shaking in your boots. You're like,
but it's unreal. Like, it's unprecedented territory. And for people that are rugby fans as well, like, I would watch Ireland. I try and watch also the odd time if I can, but I don't have a massive amount of knowledge. But I think as well, Conal, it would be good to see a rugby player make it as well. I think,
you know, bring it back to David Shanahan. I mean, he was Gaelic football and rugby. So, like, you know, he had a kind of in both, but yeah, a rugby player, definitely. I think that also opens it up to a new audience as well, because, you know, there's people who watch Gaelic football and, you know, look down maybe, or don't, you know, pay much attention to rugby. But there's similar other way around as well, where there's people who just watch rugby and don't have any interest in Gaelic football. So you're getting in just new fans all the time. And then obviously, you know, the added bonus is that this guy's Irish. So then you kind of have someone that you can root for, even if they're on like a team that you absolutely hate.
I think Lewis Rees-Salmond is going to set a massive sort of precursor to...
Benchmark.
Because if he carves out success in Kansas City, which is a great place for him to land, a spot for him to go to, because they're so open-minded and creative offensively that, you know, they could... I'm sure Andy Reid is just enjoying every single way he could possibly feature him in the game. And so if he enjoys legitimate success, they're going to come back to, you know, UK and Irish rugby players. And I'm not a massive rugby fan, but I do follow it, and I have an awful interest in how... Leinster rugby's just have this machine of recruiting through all the private schools down in Dublin. Like it's a relentless machine of athletes coming through, and it's why Ireland have, you know, remained so strong in Europe while other teams are sort of dwindling away with it. But so what you're saying there is, if Rees-Salmond has legit success, those teams are going to say, well, where can we find him? And the answer is probably in Blackrock College or someone right now who's 20 or 21 years of age and is ready to do that exact role for another team.
But I'm telling you, if I'm sitting here as a complete nobody, a fan, in my early 30s thinking, geez, these opportunities for lads in their early 20s now, like even for you lads as NFL fans, right? Or, you know, obviously working in the NFL as well, right? That this was not around 10 years. 10 years ago, I was lucky to fire TV on the Neil Reynolds TV,
you're telling
which
me
is great. But
if Josh Van Der Fleer like came through, let's say in 5 years' time, rather than when he did a few years ago, you're telling me that an NFL team wouldn't look at a guy who's built like him and be like, this guy could easily be a tight end.
Let's say it. I'm going to say it. We'll talk about LRZ in a wee second, and then we'll wrap this up. But I want to say this for, like, I think it's important to say this. I don't want to tweet it out because I haven't got the cojones to do it yet. I think it's time for the NFL UK to be renamed. 100%. It needs to be NFL UK and Ireland. And like, I know that's not really a big deal to people, but
a lot of the Instagram accounts or a lot of the social media accounts. I mean, the Jets were just announced last week and they changed to UK and Ireland.
And they didn't even have to change their handle for that. Just change the name. Now, I believe, Dara, I mean, like, I see you're about to tell me something there. Now, you're eager to get into this. Irish players, as it stands, has a 1 or 2 in 16 chance, or 2 in, hold on, 2 in 32, 1 in 16 chance of winning the Super Bowl next year. Look, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but it just feels like it's the right time to do it because they're getting as much interaction from Irish people. Like, I mean, we are fortunate enough to have an event here on Friday in Belfast. We have one in Cork next week. We might have something in Kerry that are on in the summer con, which can't talk about yet publicly, but there's stuff happening here. There's stuff happening here that's not happening anywhere else, and I feel that fans deserve it, I think, for that recognition.
Yeah.
Do you agree? Or?
That's a good marketing pitch for trying to sell your NFL Ireland username.
I am not trying to do that. All I think is they should rename it NFL UK and Ireland. And look, if they want to put the Union Jack and Tricolour together, the Jets on it, it works all right. Do it. I think it actually brings people more together with it as well here. It makes it under one umbrella.
It
makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to have a sport where there... Well, I mean, rugby is too, but it's nice to have a sport where there isn't, you know, a divide across communities there.
It's not like that here at all.
The NFL really does bring both sides of the community together, which is exactly what we wanted on all sides. And, you know, it's an amazing way of you know, getting a bit more people together. And I don't want to say the wrong things. But
yeah, I mean, like, yeah, Charlie Smith, I mean, like, you know, he's, like, being billed as, like, you know, this. But, you know, he's from what is technically, like, the UK. But it is, like... Everyone's still rooting for him. It doesn't matter, I think, whatever side you know you're on of, you know, that.
It doesn't matter if you're in Port Rush or Portmarnock. I don't know why I said Portmarnock. It doesn't matter where you are. People are, but that's what's great because it literally goes past all that sort of stuff, and like it's never even a thought in people's heads, I think, which is fantastic. I think it's time for him to do it. I give him a month. We're about to go to that. Do it. I know they're listening, so. Just, you know, feel free, folks, to come over on Friday night. Yeah, Neil's in Belfast and the Mac on Friday night. And if you're in Cork,
Cork City,
Cork, with Neil Reynolds, I'm trying to get a very famous GA player to Cork. And I'm still waiting to hear. Don't say any names. I'll tell you after this record. But, folks, we're really trying to make this up. Dara, I will let you know what the crack is about Neil very soon.
Yeah, well, I'm in no immediate hurry. So,
yes,
wherever the wind takes me.
Dara's going to sit and the Hatfield for the next 5 days.
Yeah,
just revise for his exams.
The phone call.
The big phone call. Here, like, I'll talk about that at the end, about the whole Charlie thing. I'll say that very briefly at the end. But here, Lewis Rees-Zammit, I have heard that it might not be an IPP deal. So it's really interesting. I mean, like, Dar, like, I mean, like, any of you boys, do you know what that, like, does that mean that he can get cut in August, technically? If it wasn't an IPP deal?
Well, I mean, everyone can technically get cut in August, yeah. You know what I mean? But
Patrick Mahomes can get
but the IPP deal would allow him to not be cut, but just be put into a separate exemption.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it will depend, and I'm sure it'll come out in due course, what that contract looks like, if it's a regular IPP deal or if he's more guaranteed money, more of a just a standard, what they would give to an undrafted free agent. My reading of it is that no matter what happens, it's going to be a case of he will be in the 90-man roster. He already is. Whether or not he makes the team next year, it's more than likely that they will give him a spot on that practice squad with that exemption. And if they make a deal where he doesn't have the exemption, well, then they've gone out of their way to give him such a deal that he's probably just going to make the actual roster, which would be massive. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But then the main thing is, either way, it's going to basically end up happening is after his first year, he's going to be a restricted free agent, which means that he's not an unrestricted free agent. It means that only the Chiefs can have him back. And it's a deal where most players do see get brought back for a second year and then a third year, which is kind of how those three-year undrafted contracts are structured.
Thank you very much for that explainer. Believe me, I think a lot of people appreciate that. We'll not talk about it now, but obviously we wish our best to Roy Began, Dar Leader, Mark Jackson. I don't think it's right to talk about it. For all we know, there's stuff going on. Like, no matter what happens, those boys have done unreal. And I know that at least one or two of them have had interest from teams over the last few weeks. I mean, I think all three of them have, but that's as much as can be said right now. Let's see what happens. Charlie was first, and we hope, lads, all four get signed, and it keeps going with that. Connell, two things to end out this whole thing. Will Lewis Rees-Zammit play for the Chiefs this season? And secondly, you got to taste those Taylor and tell us what you think.
Okay.
So Connell's never been up north before, so this is
for I'll start with the Lewis Rees-Zammit, and then I'll have my dessert after I talk about that. I think he actually will, because as Dara said, I mean, they're so open-minded and stuff, and the trick plays that you could pull with him are, you know, the very much, you know, within possibility and everything like that. I also think that he's very much a big asset on special teams, because, you know, he can obviously return, you know, he'd be a great punt returner, obviously. Maybe a bit different with the new kick return rules. I'd kind of like to see how they'd use him. But because he's, you know, so physical for being a rugby player, like, he could be used as, I think he'd be actually a really good gunner, like, on special teams. I know it's not much of, like, a gunning role anymore, because obviously the new rules don't let you start running until the ball's catch, but I think, you know, like, he knows how to tackle, and he's known for being, like, you know, maybe not the best defensive winger in the world, but he's, you know, you don't get to play and start for Wales just being one of the best players offensively. Like, that's kind of what you have to do, is be great on both sides.
One other thing before you taste your potato
on
Rees-Zammit.
No, you gotta go cheese and onion, lad. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm a big fan of both. listen,
keep it on the fence. Eh?
On Lewis Rees-Zammit, I do think one thing that isn't being talked about too much is the new kickoff rules are in effect from the start of next season. It looks a lot like the XFL kickoff, if you're anywhere familiar with that. Basically, the starting kickoff coverage teams start way down the field. It's a way to prevent concussions, and they've also added in some rules that mean there's going to be a lot more actual returns next year and not touchbacks. So basically, there's a lot of emphasis on kickoffs next year. There's going to be a lot more big returns. So teams are going to be, you know, pretty big in implementing this and working on this over the summer in preseason. Rees-Zammit is set up perfectly to be one of those returners. I've been lucky enough to speak with Packers special team coach Ron Bisaccia, and he has told me that basically, obviously the Packers are going to stick with Keyshawn Nixon, he's an all-pro kick returner, but the majority of teams are going to be looking towards running backs instead of receivers, or kind of hybrid players between the two, guys who can run really well in space with good vision and power more so than speed. And obviously speed's an added incentive, but that kind of perfectly describes what Rees-Zammit is as a player. I think he's, you know, if you just look at him, any of his rugby highlights, they do look very similar to what he could be seeing on those kind of kick returns, where you have a full line of your guys and a full line of their guys and you have to break through it. So I think that's going to be really well set up for him going forward.
I think, like, you hit, like, that new kickoff is intriguing, and to see what he can maybe integrate himself into that is going to be class. It's a big jump for him. Wish him the very, very best of luck. If anybody can do it, he can. I mean, what he's done the last 2 weeks, and Charlie, all these lads, like, this is unprecedented. Yeah,
he's not like an average rugby player. He's like one of the best players in the world. Like.
As my wife said to me the other night when she was watching the news, he's a good looking boy. Like, he is.
And he's young enough. I think he's 22, 23.
He is. Well. And he's also single as well. Like, going by TikTok. Right. I put up a TikTok. Mangan, shout out to Mangan. Mangan videoed Lewis Rees-Zammit. It got 600,000 views on TikTok. All these Saffron Barker fans commenting on TikTok. Oh, here, Matt. Right, Tato. Tato's on.
Yeah.
You got to be honest here, right?
Yeah. Cheers and Sláinte. You know, I don't want to.
Jesus Christ.
Really down the middle.
Look at this. He's like,
I'll go a second bite as well, just to. Sorry for the ASMR. It is different.
Is it what you expected, like?
No, I like, it's not, there's not as much flavour as the other ones.
Oh, here.
I think there's less.
Brought
flavor.
Him the whole way up here to tell him there's not enough flavour in it.
See, I think sometimes with the South ones, there's too much flavour. But I like both. Like.
But I'd agree, like, I think, but I prefer, I think the bet, there should be a happy medium between the two, where, like, this has too little, but maybe the Republic ones have.
It's a constitutional question. I mean, yeah. Are you meant to keep both of these in the event of, you know,
they'll keep our ones.
On that note,
yeah. They made a whole theme park for it, like.
Well, not anymore. Here, this, I feel like we could have talked this lad around the whole of Belfast, both sides. We could have talked him to Tato Castle, Armagh.
Well, I wouldn't. Well, yeah, I wouldn't talk him. Yeah, Castle. Yeah, I think we could have talked him around the North Coast.
I mean, all these places.
Yeah, I saw Sainsbury's and I was like, here. Whoa.
This is it.
Whoa. And then I saw Lidl and I felt a lot more comfortable.
It's Lidl, lad. Oh, there's a whole different here. This is a very different podcast. Neil Reynolds and the Mac this Friday night. We're in Cork the week after. linktr.ee/NFL Ireland. Big thanks, even though this is a college football podcast, it's, you know, talking general NFL stuff. Aer Lingus College Football Classic. You can get tickets at the same link now. We will see you in August. We will be announcing a tailgate very soon. It's happening. Me, Agus, McAfee, not happening, but maybe. We'll see. Very, very excited for that. Georgia Tech, FSU. Obviously, FSU, if you aren't aware, folks, one of the best teams in the States last year. Arguably the best team in the States. A whole different conversation.
Yeah.
We're a different podcast at some point.
And Georgia Tech, no pushover either. They had their best season last year in 7 years, and they're going to be even better next year. Big, big season for them.
Kerry man as well, David Shanahan. So as I said, Neil on Friday in Belfast, and we have got a member of the Atlanta Falcons joining us next Monday. Jeff is back on Thursday. But for now, congrats to Charlie, lad. Unreal. Congrats to everybody who took part in the IPP. We are keeping continued prayers up for everybody else. You can follow us at NFL Ireland on X, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook throughout the week for more if any of these lads get signed. And the big question is, boys, will Rory Beggin play against Calvin this weekend? That's the biggest question.
No.
He has to do both. Do both for the crack. Double dip.
I heard David Shanahan's getting a call up to the Kerry squad is all I heard.
Good night. God bless. Thank you so much, folks. Chat to you soon. Thank you.